This is Speaking of Writers. I'm Steve Richards. Brad Taylor served as U.S. Army Special Forces officer for more than 20 years, including 8 as a commander in 1st Special Forces Operational Detachment Delta, commonly known as the Delta Force. He brings this authenticity to the page in his new book, Dead Man's Hand, the new novel that dives headfirst into the Russia-Ukraine conflict. To finally end the war between their nations, a rogue Ukrainian band of partisans known as the Wolves teams up with members of Russia's military intelligence to assassinate Vladimir Putin. But Putin is aware of the traitors in his midst and assigns the loyal commander of the Russian National Guard to root them out. It's a mission Viktor Petrov is expected to undertake after he prevents Sweden from joining NATO by assassinating a deputy minister of foreign affairs. After receiving intelligence about the threat in Sweden, the U.S. sends Pike Logan to identify Victor's target, only for him to get caught in the crossfire between Putin's agents and the Wolves. When the smoke clears, Pike makes no effort to stop the Wolves on their ultimate mission, believing it just until he discovers that their operation has unimaginable consequences. For Putin is preparing a devastating endgame, activating the Dead Man's Hand nuclear response that will launch Russia's missiles in the event of his death. Happy to have Brad Taylor back on this program. Welcome, Brad.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we know where the idea kind of came for this story. Ukraine and Russia. In your opinion, Brad, where are we now with this conflict?
Yeah, well, it's pretty much a stalemate. The Ukrainians have the will. Russia has mass. I mean, there's mass is a characteristic all its own. So, I mean, Russia's got 10 times the number of people, 10 times the number of armaments, things like that. Even given that, Ukraine's held on their own. They had a counteroffensive last year, went up to the wintertime. Wintertime's not much of fighting because of just the way the weather is. In the springtime, everything turns to mud. But in the summertime, it's going to heat up again. And if they don't get support from the West, Russia can use that mass to win.
All right. So in this book, Dead Man's Hand, Pike Logan goes head to head with Putin's henchman, Viktor Petrov. That character, how did you create him?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm glad I did this. I'd used Wagner in 2 previous books, Daughter of War and one other one. I mean, I've been reading about Wagner, studying them for a while. That was before they made the world stage. And so I said, this book, I don't want them. I've used them already. And luckily I did, because they initiated a coup and Putin pretty much got rid of them all. But I was looking around, okay, what does Putin control in the national defense structure that he personally controls? And he created the National Guard. It's not like our National Guard. People hear National Guard and they think of, you know, disaster relief, hurricanes, that kind of stuff. That's not what these guys do. They do population control and that kind of stuff. All the other components of military power fall underneath their version of National Security Council, except for the National Guard. He stood them up and they answered to Putin alone. The guy that's in charge of the National Guard was Putin's head of security. So they're definitely close. And so that's what I start off with, the baseline from that. This guy's going to be loyal to Putin. He's a guy that believes in what Putin's doing, and he's going to do Putin's bidding.
The Wolves, are they modeled after any group?
Yeah, they are, actually. There are a bunch of different partisan groups that initially started fighting in Ukraine when, I mean, everybody, including myself, to be honest with you, wrote off Ukraine when Russia invaded initially. I was like, that's not, you know, there's nothing they can do. There's no way they can win. And they had a gigantic battle at the airport outside Kiev. And if Russia had seized that airport, then Kiev would have fallen. And these guys all banded together as their head of their version of Milley, chairman, their version of Joint Chief Staff, said they didn't count on a guy with a bolt action rifle in a tracksuit. And that's what these partisans are. And they've learned to fight. We've started training them. And they obviously know they're regionally focused, obviously, because they know their terrain. They know the people there. They know who's good, who's bad. And they're very, very effective.
All right. Let's talk about Pike Logan. For those listening to this podcast who don't know Pike Logan, how did you create Pike originally?
I actually, you know, this is the 18th Pike Logan novel. Nobody's more surprised than me that I have 18 of them out. When I originally set out to write a book, I wanted to write a story of redemption. I was not writing a military thriller. I was writing a story of redemption just because I kind of liked that Rocky theme. And I have no instruction on how to be a writer. And so you kind of just Google how to be a writer. And one of the mantras is write what you know. Well, if I'd have been a police officer, Pike would have been a cop. If I'd have been a priest, Jennifer would have been a nun. I happen to be a counterterrorist special forces guy. So that's what Pike became.
You retired in 2010 after serving more than two decades and participating in Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom. 18th Pike Logan novel for you. Did you always want to become a writer?
Yeah, but not in the sense I had no idea that I would actually be published. I was always a voracious reader, and I always had it as a bucket list that I was going to write a book, not that I was going to become a writer. And I wrote One Rough Man, my first book, and it surprised everybody, it sold. And so I had to make a choice. I was going back into the classified world, and if that was the case, I couldn't publish the book. I was on the promotion list to full colonel. My daughter was entering high school. There was all kinds of competing things coming into play, and I turned down the promotion to see if I'd give writing a try.
When you're with Delta Force, 21-year veteran of the U.S. Army Infantry and Special Forces, did you keep a journal when you could?
No, because nothing in the books. I don't, take something that happened to me in Iraq and say I'm going to transplant this into Syria, or something I did in Georgia and say I'm going to pretend like that's Ukraine. I mean, my experiences obviously come into play just as it would for any writer. If you were writing a scene about riding a bike, the writer would think, what's it like to ride a bike? You're writing a scene about swimming in the ocean. What did it feel like when I swam in the ocean? So when I write about a gunfight or operational planning or things like that, of course I'm going to think about my experiences. But no, I didn't keep a journal where I could, refer back to or anything like that.
Chatting with Brad Taylor here on Speaking of Writers, his new novel, a Pike Logan novel, is Dead Man's Hand. What's your primary challenge in writing this novel, Brad?
This specific novel, or all of them in general?
This one.
This one, it's because it's I'm writing about current events. Usually, I like to try to be on the bow wave of current events, where I see something I think is going to happen, and then it does happen, or maybe it doesn't happen. But I write about that. This one, because it's current, the biggest challenge was trying to keep abreast of what's going on in Ukraine itself, that I had to weave through the book. For instance, I mean, I just turned the book in, and obviously, the book is predicated on Putin removing Putin from office. And then the Wagner group invaded. Prigozhin, the head of the Wagner group, said he's marching to Moscow. He's going to, take over Moscow, take over the Kremlin. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Because if that had happened, then, the whole book is worthless at that point. So it was just basically the hardest part was keeping track of what's going on.
Let's talk about your writing process a little bit. Do you use an outline or you let the story unfold as you're writing it?
I don't do an outline per se where I have chapter one, chapter two, that kind of thing. I do create what I call a framework where I know the start point, I know the antagonist, I know this the playing field where it's going to go. And I'd say about 80% of the time would have been up until I wrote All Necessary Force, it'd have been 100%. But now it's about 80% of the time I know how it's going to end. But in between those points, those broad brushstrokes, I don't know anything. And yeah, I just kind of start writing.
How do you come up with some of the names of the characters, like Viktor Petrov and the band of partisans, the Wolves?
Yeah, that's actually one of the hardest things to do because, you're writing for a worldwide audience. I sell them books all over the world, and boy, you better get that right. For instance, I do a ton of research on what are these guys called? What's a Ukrainian name, Slavic names, that kind of thing. When I wrote One Rough Man, I was writing about Bosnia. And there's Bosniaks, there's Croats, and there's Serbians, and they all have different names. And I was trying to find a name, so I it was looking, what is a Bosniak name, trying to find it. And I fed it, found a wedding invitation. It was online. Somebody posted their wedding invitations, all these Bosniaks. And so I pieced together a name and put it in the book, and then I got an email from a Bosniak saying, that's a Serbian name. Nobody would be called that. I'm like, well, I did my best. I tried. But if you're talking about, whether you're talking about Arabic people or Sunni Arabs have certain names, Shia Arabs have a certain names. I'm writing about India right now. Every one of the castes has a certain name, and it takes a lot of research to make sure you're fitting that in there, or you'll get an email saying nobody would name their kid that.
Brad, how long does it take typically to research and write a novel like this one?
It takes about a year. So, I mean, I get on the ground. So for this book, let's see, I went to Denmark, Finland, Sweden, and Estonia for on the ground, probably read five books on the conflict itself and, the history of Russian things, that kind of stuff. And then you've got to, sit down and write the books. It takes about a year.
What are your writing habits? Are you a disciplined writer who writes every day at a certain time in a certain place, or can you write anywhere?
I definitely write anywhere. I mean, like I said, when I wrote my first book, I didn't have any intention of it being published. I wrote that thing. I was still in the military. And so I wrote it at volleyball tournaments and gymnastics meets with my kids. I wrote it on airplanes. I wrote it in bars. I wrote it wherever I am. I have a MacBook Pro that's what I don't even have a writing desk. Sometimes I get asked, what's on your writing desk? And I say, I don't have one. Some days I don't type at all. Other days I'll type all day long. And people, you don't usually say, what's your writing process? What they really mean is, when do you type? When do you sit down and put words on a page? But to me, that's not writing. I'm always writing. If I'm in the shower, if I'm doing physical training, if I'm walking the dog, I'm writing. I have a journal I carry around with me that I write notes in all the time. I'll wake up in the middle of the night, write some notes down. That's writing. Now, when I get all those notes and everything coalesced in my brain enough that I think I can type it, then I'll sit down and type. I tried doing the, once again, a Google. You got to be disciplined. You got to do, 1,000 words a day, 2,000 words a day, whatever the limit is. And I tried doing that. And invariably, I found out that when I did that, at the end of the week, I hated everything I wrote and I deleted it all. So now I just don't. And when I'm ready to write, I'll write. If I'm not ready to write, then I don't.
What genres do you especially enjoy reading, and which do you tend to avoid?
I actually read murder mysteries. Believe it or not. So John Sanford, Robert Crace, Michael
Hmm.
Connelly, that kind of stuff. That's usually what I read. I actually don't read my own genre, just because, I mean, I'm writing fiction too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that I'm writing that just are not realistic. Usually it's because I don't want to put classified stuff in there. But there's only so many times people are going to get in a gunfight. People ask me, how realistic are your books? And I'll say, with the gunfight level, the planning level, and the geostrategic level, it's very realistic. What's not realistic is the fact that Pike gets in six gunfights in the span of a week. In the real world, it would be, if I said if I wrote a real book, it would be 300 pages of PowerPoint briefings to various decision makers. And then the final page would be mission denied, and you'd go back home. So that's what's unrealistic about it. And so when I read, in my own genre, I'd sit there and think, well, that never happened. Well, of course it wouldn't happen, but I guess it's the same as, doctors probably don't read medical thrillers.
I'm sure you're working on the next Pike Logan novel. And if so, can you give us a sneak peek into what it's about?
Yeah, like I said, we came back from India, and it's about unrest in India with machinations between China, India, and Sikh separatists that are over there.
What would you like readers to take away from Dead Man's Hand?
I guess the main thing I like to take away is a damn good read. There's nothing better than an email I get that says, thanks a lot. I didn't get any sleep last night. I had to finish your book. I don't have any overarching political or message in there. I just try to write a really good thriller.
The book is Dead Man's Hand. The author is Brad Taylor. Brad, thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And this is Speaking of Writers.